Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And Seth Rohrbaugh, the Trib, covers the Penguins. He joins us now on the fan hotline, and perhaps he can answer the question that Penguins fans have asked themselves over the last 24 to 36 hours, which is, what's going on in the front office there, Seth?
I don't know I can answer that, to be honest with you. that's probably not a good thing for me to say in my position, but it's still a head-scratcher all, 24, 36 hours here later after they fired Jason Carmanos, namely. I mean, obviously, the move with Trevor Daley seems like a pretty good one in terms of bringing him in and almost in a kind of like an apprenticeship role to kind of figure out what it's like to be a front office staffer now that he's retired as a player. But as far as, firing Jason Carmanos, it's confusing in some ways. Jason Carmanos, I mean, keep in mind, this is a guy that worked with Jim Rutherford going back to Carolina Hurricane days, going back to 1998. So, this wasn't necessarily a professional relationship. I would suspect it was a very personal relationship with the two of them. And I almost wonder if maybe the upper tiers of management, David Morehouse, as well as ownership, maybe encouraged Jim Rutherford to make this move as well. So, considering where this organization has done over the past two postseasons, not having not won a single postseason round, a move like this isn't warranted. So, as far as any one reason as to why this has happened, I can't pinpoint anything. I can just tell you this is an organization that hasn't trended well in the past 2 years, and change has been warranted.
Yeah, Seth, when Carmanos was hired, I felt it was almost like nepotism in a way, since his dad was the owner of the team where Jim Rutherford had won a Stanley Cup. And it's almost like, okay, if you're not going to be in Carolina anymore, I'll take care of you. So I agree with what you just said. But here's the thing. Normally, if you make a move like this, there's got to be, or you have to have a corresponding move in mind, don't you? And I know right away, and I was one of them, you leap to the conclusion, hey, Jason Botterill's not working for anybody right now, so maybe he'll come back. And yet that was quickly shot down by various reports. So he must have another move in mind, right?
Yeah. And frankly, too, I mean, keep in mind, the clock isn't exactly ticking right now. We don't exactly know when the NHL's next season is going to start up. And I know they've circled that January 1st as a date they'd like to start up, but I would at best put that as a 50-50 proposition. In all reality, just given everything that's going on right now. But it's a very open timetable to kind of do this. And for the most part, their off season's completed. They've made their changes to their roster. They've made their changes to their coaching staff. They just completed the draft. So there's really not much pressing business at foot here that they would need someone in that position right now. So as far as Jason Botterill, I doubt that's really going to come to fruition, at least right now. Jason Botterill still has 2 years left on his contract with the Buffalo Sabres, even after he got fired. And he's getting paid a lot of money to not be the Buffalo Sabre general manager right now. So he would have to make it, the Penguins would have to make it worth his while financially to come back in a similar role that he held before. So, and I don't know that they're necessarily in a position right now to do that, given that there's no revenue coming in, given that there's no games going on. And, they haven't had any home games going back to March here. So, I'm not quite sure they're necessarily in a position to, bring back Jason Botterill from that sense. And from what I understand from what Jim told me, he said it's a move he'd like to try to, get squared away as soon as possible. So, again, like I said, just given the fact that they don't have a hard time frame in place here right now, I I wouldn't expect the them to kind of rush into anything at the moment.
Is there a concern at all in the upper levels of the organization, Seth, from what you can tell, that we've talked Botterill, we've talked Karmanos, the one thing they both have in common is they were a part of this phalanx of assistant GMs alongside Billy Guerin and Tom Fitzgerald, who helped Jim Rutherford build what became back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, and that none of that cabinet remain. Nonetheless, anybody at all really of great NHL experience to sit there as the angel on Jim Rutherford's shoulder when perhaps the devil are his knee-jerk tendencies to sometimes make a move or go after a certain player. Is there a concern that there's not really anybody there advising him right now and that they need to have something like that in place again?
I wouldn't say in the immediate sense. As I said earlier, their business for the offseason is completed, more or less. So, you know, they really don't need to worry about roster management for the next month and a half right now, assuming that that January 1st date would hold up, which, again, I believe is a 50-50 proposition. So, I mean, in the immediate sense, no, there's no immediate concern in terms of having, you know, a second voice there to kind of, you know, work or, you know, argue against Jim Rutherford on any decisions. And now, you know, once we get closer to a season, you certainly would like to have someone there, especially if, you know, you want someone that's maybe a little bit more ensconced in the details of the collective bargaining agreement, the salary cap, et cetera. So, you know, if they get to that point, you know, you certainly would like to have someone in that sense. But just given that we're kind of in like a very dead time of the calendar year here in this very, you know, warped NHL calendar that we're in right now, just given everything that's going on with the pandemic, everything like that. I don't sense that there's an immediate need, but at some point, yes, you do want to have someone there when it, you know, does come down to the nitty gritty here in terms of, you know, making up a roster once there is some sort of training camp and once the season does begin, because you do need to make some hard decisions with regards to your salary cap and your roster, who you can put in waivers and everything like that.
And that it's not January 1st, and that it's February 1st, and that we have a shortened season again, much like the lockout, which actually that was quite a while ago now, wasn't it? And if it's cut back to, say, 48 or 50 games, somewhere around there, what kind of problems are they going to face with the Players Association and then just trying to extrapolate budgets and all that other stuff? It sounds like it could be a real mess.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like there's a pretty good working arrangement coming out of all of this. You know, for all this misery that we've gone over the past 7-8 months here, the NHL and the NHLPA have actually kind of struck up a pretty harmonious relationship in trying to work through this. And they came up with a pretty, you know, successful plan to complete the season, complete the postseason. And they actually came up with a whole new collective bargaining agreement that's kind of adjusted for this unprecedented situation too. So it seems like there's a pretty good working relationship. I don't suspect we'll run into anything as ugly as, say, the lockout in 2012 or the lockout back in 2004 or 1994. It seems like there needs to be a little bit, quite a bit of leeway on both sides. And it seems like both sides realize that relationship needs to be kind of open-ended. I don't think you're going to see anything quite as ugly as what we saw with Major League Baseball and trying to get its season going. What was it, back in, you know, May or June or wherever that was. It's going to be very strange. I suspect they'll probably be playing games well into, you know, June, July, maybe even August again this year, just because of everything just so, you know, off the rails right now. But, again, it's not going to look like anything normal in terms of, I doubt they'll play anything close to an 82 game season. It might be closer maybe to 60 games, and you certainly would have a normal, you know, meaning 4 rounds of the playoffs. I think you'd have a normal postseason schedule as well. It just might go into June, July, or August once again.
Penguins reporter Seth Rohrbaugh of the Trib with us here on the Fan Morning Show. How much truth or how much stock do you think there is in these rumors of possible hub cities again? Not the same way it was with Edmonton and Toronto, but certainly the possibility of the Canadian teams having to remain in Canada and play in their own division and then separating the rest of the teams into 3 different locations around the U.S., or is the league simply too dependent on gate revenue that they have to wait until fans can get back into buildings?
It's definitely a possibility, especially with the Canadian division, and because frankly you have a situation right now where the U.S. Canadian border is still somewhat closed. I mean, you have to kind of go into the country for what I believe a 14-day quarantine period, and that's just not practical for, you know, a professional sports team. So, you know, if you have a Canadian division with the seven teams, and then you kind of split up the other remaining teams in their own divisions, I think I saw the Penguins would be in a division with like the Boston Bruins and the Buffalo Sabres, as well as, you know, most of the other normal division foes, like, you know, in the Metropolitan Division. So it's feasible, and you know, you maybe break it up more into not just two cities like we saw in the playoffs here, but maybe, you know, eight cities or what have you. From what I understand, it wouldn't be a straight up, you know, hard bubble where you could not go whatsoever out in the general public. It would be a little bit more open ended. You'd be expected to follow some protocol and whatnot, even if you are going in public into a restaurant, things like that. But it would definitely be something that they'd kind of have to jury rig, kind of not on the fly, but, you know, over time here, and, you know, see what works and what doesn't. So, but no, just based on the fact that the U.S. Canadian border still somewhat closed right now, it's just maybe a matter of reality that if they want to start or complete the 2021 season, you're going to have to kind of do something like that and until the world just gets a better situation, better hold on the whole coronavirus situation.
Yeah, and definitely they've got to have fans back in buildings too to get back some of that revenue. Seth, great stuff. We appreciate you checking in this morning, and we'll continue to keep up to date on what we think may happen with the Pens front office, as well as when we may expect to see the teams back on the ice again. Thanks again.
Appreciate the invitation, guys. Be well.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.